This is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava. The John Brown Quintet plays jazz around North Carolina and across the country. But John Brown, the lead man and bass player, says some of their most important gigs happen right here in Durham on the campuses of the city's universities. John Brown directs the jazz program at Duke University, where he hopes to one day have a festival that brings together the biggest names in jazz. And he also hopes to have them playing with high school jazz ensembles and college jazz ensembles. John Brown is with us today in the studio. We're also joined by another member of the John Brown Quintet, trumpet player Ray Codrington, and by Baron Thomas, a professor of music at North Carolina Central University. Welcome all. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Well, y'all have been playing jazz for a long time, individually. And John and Baron, you teach jazz at Duke and NC Central. Jazz is music that came out of clubs. And so I'm wondering about the role that universities are playing in keeping it going. Are they a necessary link? Or if the universities weren't doing this, would jazz keep going and going? John Brown?
I certainly think that the universities play an important role in keeping the music alive simply because we're educators. There are certain elements about the university setting that bring people who are interested in jazz together, whether they're musicians or listeners. And just because of the academic nature of, again, that bringing people together, the music stays alive, the musicians learn how to play, and we have series in place where we bring in musicians and just create an environment where the music can live.
Mm-hmm. And Baron, is that the same for you at Central?
Yeah, absolutely. The jazz is similar to classical music in the sense that it's not hugely commercially viable the way that popular music is. Not that it couldn't be, but right now the universities and the nonprofit sector are very important in the sustenance of jazz.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on MTV and. No, it's not all over the place like that. So,
well, it's hard to get them into like little 3-minute snippets,
right,
isn't it? They tend to go on for a little longer than that.
Right.
Well, how does you all live, teach, and perform in Durham? I'm curious how you would assess Durham's jazz scene compared to other places in the country. Ray, you play here. You played here for years.
Well, I live in Fayetteville.
Okay.
So I come up here because there are more opportunities to play in the Triangle area. And so compared to Fayetteville, yes, there's quite a bit happening here.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that I would like to see that there were more places where young people could come and be exposed to the music, because there are a lot of youngsters out there who are potentially good players. And for that reason, I think it's good. It would be better if we had more places, because a lot of times when you have a place where it's so expensive that the young people cannot afford to attend, then they miss out.
Mm-hmm.
So the school systems sort of take care of that problem, in that generally whenever you have concerts at schools, everybody gets the chance to come.
It's a question of exposure, I would guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think it is.
I'm curious, in each of your stories, how did you each hit upon jazz as this music that you appreciated and then wanted to play?
Well, it was in college that I was first introduced to jazz. And I came up in a very small town here in North Carolina, and there was no jazz there. So when I went to college, I was exposed to it for the first time. We used to lie in the dormitories at night and listen to it on the radios. And I mean, from 12 to 6 in the morning. And I'm saying that was my first exposure. And I couldn't understand how in the world these guys could play the trumpet and play so many notes, and you know how did they know this? And my roommate at that time was a saxophone player, and he began to explain to me. He said, he said, that's, he would name the artist. I said, how do you know the name of the artist, man? I mean, this is radio, this is not TV. How do you know who that is? He said, you just keep listening, and after a while, you'll be able to identify the voice.
Of the instrument.
Of the instrument.
Right.
And that's how I got started.
Mm-hmm. John Brown, what's your story?
I started playing bass when I was 9 years old, and I played all classical music most of the way through high school. I like to say that music is something that found me. I stated that I wanted to be an attorney when I was looking at things I wanted to do for my life, and the bass has kind of found me.
And you do have a law degree. I followed through on that.
Right? I did follow through on that. That's how I ended up in the area. I went to law school at UNC, and I always kept a hand in music. And when I first introduced to jazz, as I say, I was playing classical music and was kind of approaching the bass from that aspect of being a supportive instrument all the time. And then I finally, I saw a jazz group play, and I noticed there was only one bass player, and in many instances took the lead. And again, realizing how the instrument functions and learning what its roles were in the classical music, what it's intended to do in jazz is so different that I was immediately drawn to it. And the rest is, as they say, history.
Mm-hmm. Because it had a more predominant place in jazz than it would have in a rock band, where you're basically providing a rhythm, right?
Right, right. It's again, it has a specific place. You can really feel the bass in jazz. You can really feel its foundation. And there are many parallels to be drawn between how the bass functions in classical music and in jazz. But again, in jazz groups, you're typically the only one. So the responsibility of creating that foundation and providing that that solid foundation for the melody and the harmony to function is really something that's specific to that music. And again, sitting on both sides of that fence, I really appreciate the roles of both.
And Baron Tymus, mm-hmm. you play guitar, jazz
yes.
guitar. And how did you hit on jazz being the music you wanted to do?
Well, I started out playing rock and R&B and funk and blues. And my parents are very open, in terms of the types of music that they like to listen to. And so we always had jazz around the house. So I heard Wes Montgomery as a little boy. I didn't know it was called jazz. I just knew it was a beautiful sound. And so as I was working on Hendrix and B.B. King and Eric Clapton, that, some Wes Montgomery was in my head. And so I just continued with that. And when I went to high school, I was lucky enough to have a jazz program at the school. And I just thought the music was fascinating and difficult to play and, a challenge. So from that aspect, I just picked it up and ran with it the best I could.
We're talking about jazz and jazz in Durham in particular. With us are John Brown. He is a professor at Duke, and he is John Brown of the John Brown Quintet. Part of that band is also Ray Codrington, and Baron Tymus is with us as well. Why don't we hear, I'd like to play a little bit of a performance of the John Brown Quintet. This is a Ray Charles song, Hallelujah, I Just Love Her So. Uh-huh. And Ray, another Ray, is singing vocals here. Why don't we listen to that?
Let me tell you about a girl I know. She's my baby and she lives next door. Every morning before the sun comes up, she brings my coffee in my favorite cup. That's why I know, yes, I know, hallelujah, I just love her so. When I'm in trouble and I have no friend, I know she'll be with me until the end. Everybody asks me how I know, I smile at them and say, she told me so. That's why I know, yes, I know, hallelujah, I just love her so. Now if I call her on the telephone and tell her that I'm all alone, by the time I count from 1 to 4, I hear on my door. In the evening when the sun goes down and there is nobody else around, look out, she kisses me, she holds me tight, and tells me, Ray, everything's all right. That's why I know, yes, I know, hallelujah, I just love her so. Come on, Ray.
That's the John Brown Quintet. John Brown is here in the studio with us. He plays bass there, and that's the voice of Ray Codrington, who is singing vocals on that Ray Charles song, Hallelujah. I just love her so. Ray Codrington, you talked earlier about that voice, finding the voice in the instruments there. Now, which did you do first, play trumpet or sing jazz?
Well, I started out singing in the church when I was a little boy. My mother was the organist at the church. And so I'd have to go to choir rehearsals with her on Tuesday nights. And so while I was sitting there, I began to sing with the choir. And that's how I started singing. Mm-hmm. And it was years later that I picked up with the trumpet in about the ninth grade.
Mm-hmm. So coming back to Hallelujah is just full circle for you here.
Somewhat, yes.
Now, John Brown, I was a little taken aback to read about you that you cite Geddy Lee, the bass player for Rush. Let me repeat that, for Rush, as an influence. But you said that's when you realized that a bass could have a melodic line. It wasn't just keeping time there?
Right, that's right. Many of these things happen at once. I was exposed to jazz, and as I said a second ago, about what the bass does there. And then even more, Geddy Lee, just a fabulous bass player, and I heard the bass do things that I didn't think possible. And right away, you know, in my teens, in those very critical developmental years, I really embraced the notion that the bass could do anything. And I set my course to see what it was possible, what I could possibly do on it. So yes, indeed, my eclectic listening tastes certainly come out.
Do you remember the song or the moment when it struck you that, you know, there's a melody going on there?
The song was YYZ, and there was just, again, just happened to just speak to me. I think the music just found me, grabbed my ear, and said, "Hold on a second, listen to this." And I really heard what the instrument was doing, and again, it just drew me in right away.
Mm-hmm. Is that common for a jazz player to be influenced by rock?
Yeah. Well, especially I'm not going to speak on John's age, but I came up, you know, I was born in 1960, and how could you not be listening if you had any peers, any friends at all? You know, you're going to hear some music, and what were your friends listening to? Rock,
Bach.
Motown, rock, Bach. Yeah. But oh yeah, I got to tell John, the first rock concert I ever went to was Kiss, Rush, and the Heavy Metal Kids.
Oh man,
Rush. Geddy Lee was about like a toothpick wide at that time. You
know? Now, were you hearing the melodic line in Geddy Lee's bass yourself?
No, mostly what I heard when I went home was nothing because it was so loud I couldn't hear for about 3 or 4 days.
Now, John Brown, you have said that part of your goal in teaching, and I wonder if this is the same for you too, Baron, is to dispel erroneous ideas about jazz. And give me a misconception about it.
Many students, and actually I guess for that matter, many people in general think that jazz is a haphazard, arbitrary, do whatever you feel like doing kind of music. And the thing that makes that inaccurate is that it suggests a lack of structure and a lack of some organization. Many people, just because they don't see jazz musicians reading music, they don't really see the practice of, okay, well, we're studying this, and there's no clear connection between what you're hearing and what the musician is thinking, again, because it's the absence of a written piece of music in most cases. So many people come to jazz with the notion that it is random and unorganized, and it just happens to sound good. So one of my roles as an educator, I think, and beyond, is to help people understand that it is quite the opposite. It requires a level of mastery of the instrument that rivals other kinds of music, because you really have to have a command of your instrument to make it do things that are spontaneous and that are inspired right on the spot. So that is one thing that generally speaking, that I really want people to understand. It's just a very intellectual music that requires a lot of thought and preparation, and is very much not arbitrary and haphazard.
Mm-hmm. And you're working with students right now at Duke with their jazz department there, and you, right. Baron, work at NC Central, mm-hmm. in the same capacity there. You got a break, John Brown, with the Marsalis family, a member of the Marsalis family. Branford Marsalis, of course, lives here in Durham, but with another member when you were younger. And was that your break?
I don't know when I would say the break was, but that certainly was a key point in my development as a musician. I had the opportunity to meet Wynton Ellis and Jason Marsalis kind of all at the same time. And within a few months, I had played with all of them and started playing with Delphio Marsalis regularly. And invariably, I actually met Branford when he first started working on the Tonight Show many years ago. We were out in L.A., and I, you know, kind of over the years, have had a chance to play with many of them. So, yeah, I would say that that certainly was a turning point for me in the early 90s. And again, the rest is history. I actually just had a reunion of sorts with Ellis last, well, I guess week before last. We played Jazz Club in Boston, and it was just a great experience to play with him.
Mm-hmm. And in the final seconds before we go, you have a dream of having a large jazz festival in Durham.
I do. I think it can happen. The people of Durham love jazz, and I believe that there's a need and demand for it, and I think we can make it happen.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for talking with us today, John Brown. John Brown, of course, with the John Brown Quintet, and he's head of the jazz department at Duke University. Baron Timus is a guitar player and professor of music at North Carolina Central. And Ray Codrington, trumpet player from Fayetteville, but who comes to Durham a lot and
right.
plays here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we're going to be hearing one more track from a performance of the John Brown Quintet called Whole Lotta Love. That's coming up in just a moment. Thanks for listening. If you have a comment about our program, you can send us an email. The address is sot@wunc.org. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Here's Whole Lotta Love. I'm Melinda Pencala.